Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, it's my privilege to welcome a very accomplished young woman, Supriya Paul. Supriya, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
Supriya is the co-founder of Josh Talks. She was recognized as a Forbes 30 Under 30. She's a mentor of change at Atal Innovation, and she's associated with She the People Digital Award. So, Supriya, you were studying to be a chartered accountant but became an entrepreneur. What made you take this decision?
So, I think, you know, I was in my second year of college and I was doing BCom honors at Venkateshwara College, which is in Delhi University. And, you know, out of my class of about 250 people, almost close to 230 were either doing CA or preparing for the CAT for MBA. And I think just knowing that made me start thinking about what I really wanted to do in my life. And why was it sort of just set in stone that anybody who goes on to doing BCom honors will either do MBA or CA? From the time that I was a child, I was sort of told time and again that, you know, I'm not an extrovert. So I would be really good at a desk job. And when it comes to a desk job, you really think of, you know, accounts as an option. And that's sort of the narrow-mindedness with which I was going till the time that I started really questioning all my decisions in life. And that's when I realized that, you know, I'm not an introvert. I've just never been given an opportunity to be an extrovert. Or, you know, I've never really got to discover my own self. And I think that realization made me want to step away from wanting to be a CA.
That led you to Josh Talks. So tell me a little bit about Josh Talks and what got you to start?
Awesome. So I think Josh started with that same thought process of frustration, which was that, you know, young people have so much potential and still we sort of bucket them in the careers that exist today. And even though, like, you know, I've lived in Delhi my entire life, Gurgaon for most part of it, I've gone to a really good school, which is Shriram. I've had the opportunity to be privileged to exposure. But still, when it came to my career, I was only thinking of three or four options. I never thought that I could be an entrepreneur or start something of my own. And then when you start talking to people who don't belong to metropolitan cities, who don't speak in English, who don't come from the privilege that we do, we realize that there is an entire different world where people don't even know who they can be, where they don't even have the opportunity to dream. And that's what we wanted to create with Josh, you know, make a stage that gives people the opportunity to dream, that they can look at someone from their own village or their own city or town and just be like, you know, if he can do it, I can do it. And that's where the idea sort of came from, to give direction to people. And I think I was solving for my own self and my co-founder Shobhit for his own self. And we landed upon this platform.
Incredible. But, you know, just to give you, I don't know if the right word is comfort. I went to school. I finished school in 1972, which was 50 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was still the same.
Yeah.
I went through the same challenges that I had to be a doctor, lawyer, or engineer. I failed in everything. And they suddenly discovered MBA and found the corporate world is a different thing. But when I was growing up, the corporate world wasn't even an option.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's unfortunate, but, you know, I think that's in India, we have a long way to go.
Yeah, absolutely.
So tell me, Supriya, about, you know, when I was reading about you, you said you talked about an impact media platform. What does this mean and what does it do?
So we didn't want to just categorize Josh Talks, which is like one part of what we do, as a media platform, because firstly, we're not focused on, you know, live journalism or news or any of that format. The idea was to build a narrative that fuels change. That, you know, like if you look at the American dream is just a feeling, right? It's this feeling that you can be nobody and you can go with nothing to the US and you're going to become somebody over there. We just wanted to recreate that in India for people who come from smaller towns and cities. That it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter how much money you have or what your background is. But if he can do it, you can do it. If she can do it, you can do it. And that was our goal. That it just doesn't remain a content platform where we, you know, bring these awesome stories and people go back home feeling good about themselves. There has to be something that they take an action on right after. And that's sort of what we're also building now. So we'll talk about that later. Yeah. But that's why impact media was the word that we coined.
Wonderful. And, you know, I've seen some of your Josh Talks and you're getting some amazing speakers to come and speak.
Yeah.
How do you decide on who to invite?
Yeah. You know, for the first couple of years, it was sort of difficult. different and now it's very different. Earlier, we used to think of, you know, which are the categories that are aspirational for people in terms of career. And say the audience set that we cater to, largely Hindi speaking belt, UP, Bihar, Jharkhand, Chhattisgarh, government jobs were super aspirational for them. So, you know, we started identifying different categories or career options that they actually wanted to take up and then started bringing these speakers on. But now over time, what's happened is that it's almost like 70% of speakers are now inbound queries. So we have a form, we regularly have people who write in who want to speak. And then we have a team that filters through the entire process and actually works with them on the talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, you just said that you've got some segments. Are there any particular areas that you focus on, or is it just whatever the audience is looking for?
So there are broader themes. I mean, one thing that ties all of them up is inspiration. The story has to have been one where there has been, you know, a significant amount of, say, struggle or challenges, etc., to reach the stage that the person is. Challenges which are, again, relatable to the audience that we cater to. But broadly, the themes are government jobs is a huge category for us. Business is a huge category, especially in languages like Marathi, Bengali, and Tamil. We've seen that a lot of audiences want to start their own business. And these are not stories of, you know, like unicorn startups. These are stories of a Kirana shop owner who went from 10,000 to 50,000 rupees because he's aspirational for the audience that we cater to. And then similarly, there are others like, you know, corporate job or professional jobs is again a huge category. Overcoming your hesitation to speak in English is a category. A lot of people are scared of the language. So we have a lot of stories of people who overcome that barrier and actually learned English. So yeah, that's sort of the ambit that we do.
And you're in multiple languages, you just mentioned.
Absolutely, yeah. So we are in 10 languages in India. And then apart from that, we've actually used the lockdown to launch in 4 more languages outside of India.
Okay.
So we have our own channel in Brazil, Indonesia, and UAE right now as well.
Wow, that's amazing. And tell me, how are you different from TED Talks?
So this is everybody.
I'm sure you're asked this question many
times. Yeah, this is everybody's favorite question and has become mine also. So I think, you know, the first difference is clearly the audience that we cater to. You know, we are not speaking about futuristic things like, say, automation, AI, or, you know, any of that, because it just doesn't relate to our audience. Our audience is a person who's under 30,000 rupees household income, struggling to make ends meet right now. So all we're trying to do is showcase them the best next step that they can take in their life. So that's probably one. The second is that we are not in English. English is also an English channel for us, and our focus is only on people who don't speak in English. So in India, that becomes a differentiating factor. The third is that everything is told through a story. So, you know, it's not an idea or a belief or a fact that we are putting out there for the world. It's only your personal experiences or what you've gone through and what you've learned out of it, which somebody else could pick up on and implement in their own life.
Interesting.
That's, yeah.
Very interesting. And you also just mentioned that you are focusing on tier 2 and tier 3 cities.
Absolutely.
But tell me, I mean, you know, in a city as big as Delhi, and I'm just using Delhi as an example because both you and I are here.
Yeah.
25, 26 million people, but a very large part of East Delhi and North Delhi would be like a tier 2, tier 3 city.
Yeah, so we do have audiences from Delhi, Bombay, Bangalore. It's not that we are not focusing on them, or we are not looking at, say, you know, semi-urban audiences or urban periphery. We do cater to them as well. What happens when you go regional is that a lot of audiences start coming from towns that you don't even recognize. And that's why a huge part of our audience has ended up being from tier 2, tier 3 towns. But that doesn't mean that we are excluding metros at all. We do cater to both segments of audience. It's just that the type of audience that we cater to is not you and I.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. And, you know, you also mentioned you are in regional languages.
Yeah.
How difficult is it for your team to be able to manage multiple languages?
So I think in our innocence and energy in 2017 or 18, we took this call that, you know, English is not for us. We are not being able to create the impact that we really wanted to in English, and let's branch out into regional languages. And we went all force and decided to launch 6 languages parallelly, which may not have been such a great thing to do back then because we had zero experience of how to even run a language in a channel in a language we didn't understand. So it's been, you know, it's been extremely tough. One, because to build teams for these languages when we don't speak speak the language has been a barrier. Second is we are based out of Gurgaon, so you know, getting the team to move here or work remotely, etc., and produce content which we can't really verify at our end has been tough. The third is that, you know, India is a massive country, and what works in Hindi doesn't work in Marathi, and what works in Marathi doesn't work in Bengali. So although, you know, there are a lot of organizations, and even we were of the same thought process that aspirations will remain the same and we can just plug and play, it's just not worked out like that. We've almost had to go deep into each market, have a team deployed there on ground, just research and talk to people to really get to the fact that what is it that they want to hear, or, you know, what is the content that they can relate to, and then start building that in each language.
With this pandemic, you can't have face-to-face talks, or can't easily have face-to-face talks. How are you managing to build a business in so many countries?
When the pandemic started, we were shaken up. I mean, just like every other business. And primarily because we are a video content platform, we rely on people coming into our studios or our events and recording their talks there. And we have a certain, you know, set branding template and guideline and everything. And that's how we like to see everything, like a plain black background with the Josh logo on it. And we just, I think the realization that that can't happen anymore was tough for us to overcome. But we quickly adapted and moved to a completely, you know, selfie camera shot model. We made production guidelines for speakers to shoot at their own homes, and which has been really tough because, again, our speakers also come from really small towns and cities. So, you know, with internet issues, bandwidth, etc., we've almost had to do like 6 recordings for one video release, as opposed to, say, one that we would do in our studio. But I think what's amazing, or, you know, has been a great realization for us, is that we don't need to be physically present with the speaker. You can be anywhere and record your own talk or your own story. Second is, you don't need high-flying equipment. We can make do with whatever you have and then fix it on edit. So that reduces a lot of barrier. Third is, we save so much time because nobody's traveling from, you know, really small towns. Like, if they have to come to our studio, it's literally they take a cab, a train and a flight and get to where we are. And that's changed completely. And when it comes to international countries, we've really used the power of young people and students who have time at their hands right now while, you know, colleges are off. And actually, our entire international growth has been fueled by volunteers who are students in these countries who had a summer break that they could utilize, and they utilize that to produce content for us.
Fantastic. More power to you. And let's move on. I mean, I know you've just raised money, so let me ask you a few questions for startups and entrepreneurs.
Sure.
First question is, what is the advantage of going solo versus having a co-founder? And the reason I'm asking you this is because a lot of people write to me and say, should I go solo or should I get a co-founder?
So I think there are pros and cons to both. And I know this because a lot of my friends are solo founders as well. So I do see that, you know, sometimes they are more empowered in terms of like decision making. They feel that it's just them and they hold themselves accountable. But at the end of the day, you know, it's not such a glamorous journey, because what gets covered is sort of the funding rounds, but what goes behind is something that not many people come out and talk about. So to have a co-founder is a huge blessing, because one, you know, there's a sounding board for everything. So even if there is an idea, there's always like, you know, you can just vet that idea through someone instantly and know whether to work on it or not. Second is, you have somebody to cover up your weaknesses, and you can be, you know, focusing on things that you really feel you're strong in or your strengths lie in. And third thing is that it allows you the freedom to take a break, which all of us do need from time to time. And there are phases where in this journey, and I'm sure you can relate to it, you do get burnt out, right? There's so much happening and there's just so much pressure from the world for you to perform, that just having someone to share that pressure with is just amazing.
And my next question is, you know, and again, this would be relevant to what you have gone through. What are some of the basic mistakes a lot of startup founders make?
I think one of the biggest mistakes is that we don't seek help, or that we don't ask for help. I was extremely nervous as well as stubborn in my earlier days of starting up. I just used to feel like, you know, I can do this on my own. I don't need anybody and nobody's out here to help me. That was also this judgment that why would anybody, everybody's so matlabi, why would they give me time? But I think that's the thing that I realize now, that you need to ask people to help you. And there are more people than you can ever even think of willing to do that. So that's the first mistake. The second, and this is from our personal experience of not having done that, is raising money too early. I've seen a lot of my friends and other, you know, entrepreneurs raise money too early in their journey when they've not even proved their model, where unit economics don't make sense. And then it's just this high pressure run of spending that money, raising more money, spending that money, raising more money. And that, you know, leads to a lot of other problems and fundamental issues within the business. So that's the second thing. And the third thing is, I think, quick decision making. We get very attached to what we believe in when we start off, but it may, I mean, like, our purpose also changes over time. What we want to do with our main mission also changes over time. So we should be quick enough to just adapt and change and move to the next thing instead of holding on to, you know, this belief that we started with.
Yeah. One more question to start off before I move to the next segment, which is two personal questions for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to see how much you have scaled up, and yet, based on my experience and hundreds of startup entrepreneurs I've spoken to, they fail when they scale up.
Yeah.
My question to you is, when should a startup start to scale up?
I think it's, you know, subjective. It really depends on a business to business. But I think for us, it has been when we knew that the business could make money and support its own self. When we were profitable, both in terms of, you know, whether it was talks where we have advertising revenue or whether it's Josh Skills, which we're working on now, we only started to scale up when our unit economics made sense and we knew that we could earn on each unit of sale that we were doing. And I think I would suggest the same, that the idea to scale up should not come before your business fundamentally in monetary terms makes sense.
Okay. So should we have time for a few personal questions for you? My first question is that, you know, at such a young age, you're building and have built such an incredible brand, and which is growing. Where do you draw your inspiration from?
I think I draw my inspiration from a lot of books and a lot of people's lives that I've experienced through these books. So in fact, the first book that I ever read, among the first three, was Pour Your Heart Into It, which is the story of Starbucks. Mm-hmm. And you know how, like, it's amazing how every single thing in Starbucks is thought through. The feeling that you get, the aroma of coffee, every single thing, the color, everything is thought through. And I think, you know, so I drew a lot of what I know from that book. Then similarly, The Hard Thing About Hard Things, which was another book. So I think I've sort of, you know, relived the lives of people by reading all of this and use some of that to take inspiration from and implement at Josh.
My next question is that if you were a role model to millions of children who closely followed your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
I would be less stubborn.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, like in Hindi, there's a word called heat. Mm-hmm. And everybody uses that for me, which is a good thing also. I've realized that it's not as bad as people make it out to be, but I would be less stubborn.
My next question is, what does success mean to you?
So, you know, from the time that I was 15, I was enamored by this word because that's the time that I got exposure to a lot of books, a lot of films, a lot of lives of different people. But I think the meaning has changed over the years. And I think what sort of remained the same is at the core of what I always wanted to do, that success is just, for me, would be creating impact at scale. Mm-hmm. And at scale is really important over here. So I don't want to be a person who changes just one life. That is meaningful, but that's just not for me. So success would be if I was able to do that at scale.
What is the most exciting and challenging aspect of your work?
Initially, you know, Josh is not a conventional business. Like, if you look at it, people don't even, you know, not many can think that it can build, you know, become an actual sustainable business and do revenue the way that it does. So I think for the first 3 years, the most challenging and the most exciting aspect of my life was doing sales. From being an introvert to, you know, talking to people, making cold calls, getting the phone slammed on. But I think what my entire sales journey has taught me is probably my strength now. And I use everything that I've learned there for everything that I do now.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. My next question is that if you could gain one ability or quality you admire in someone else, what would you choose?
I think being able to understand people. Mm-hmm. It's something that we try and do, and I'm continuously trying to figure out people. But I think I do admire that there are a lot of people who just in one interaction can see through everything and just know what the other person on the other side is thinking or doing. And I think that's a skill that I really want to acquire.
So I have time for two more questions for you.
Yeah.
The next question is that what is the most outrageous thing you have ever done?
In my life or in my work life?
Anything, your choice.
So I think in my general life has been that, you know, I used to learn classical singing, and I had just started and I was really excited that, you know, now I can sing and I've gained this superpower that other people don't have. So there was a Durga Puja that happened and everybody was like, no, you've not learned yet. You've not learned. Don't go up on stage right now. You'll just mess up, etc. But I actually went as this confident 13-year-old and sang for 6,000 people. In the biggest pandal that happens in CR Park. So that was pretty cool. Yeah, I think that experience stays with me forever.
Fantastic, fantastic. And my last question, I come back to the pandemic. How are you rethinking your life in the new world order?
A couple of things. One is that, you know, re-questioning everything, right? We never knew we could create content sitting at home or, you know, like having this conversation here. So rethinking every decision that we've actually made in the past and seeing, can it be, you know, made more efficient now, especially things like remote working, whether we need a physical space or not, etc. Rethinking scale. Earlier, we used to think that, you know, to launch a country, you need to physically set up shop over there. And what we've realized is that's not even required. To launch a new business, you don't need a team on ground. You can just do it sitting online.
Perfect.
So making every decision now online. And the third thing that's actually changed drastically is that, you know, because I was doing sales, I used to travel a lot, you know, meeting advertisers, brands, etc. And now all those conversations happen on video. And the amount of time that we've spent has reduced so much. So rethinking how we spend time. And that really changes everything that you do then.
Incredible. Yeah. Priya, thank you very much. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you. I wish you and Josh Talks huge success, not just in India, but all over the world.
Thank you so much. It's been great being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the brand called You Videocast and Podcast. Platform that brings you knowledge, experience and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.